Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we ask you and invite you to lead this service today, to lead this message, to speak to each one of us and what we need to know and need to learn and need to hear from you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today we'll keep going through Psalm 91. We might finish it today. It depends on the time here because we have communion coming up. But we'll start in verse 9 today. I want to put up verse 9. Verse 9 really reemphasizes what we saw in verse 1 and 2. I'll put up verse 9 first. Because you, all of us, have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Go on. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. I'll just read what we started out with last week in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. So it's just reemphasizing what we heard in verse 1 and 2 and 3. If we really believe and live in God, believe what this book says from cover to cover, if we know Jesus Christ, if he lives inside of us, if we feel his presence, if that's where we turn at every chance we get, if we're being a prayer warrior, if we're reading our scripture, then this is for us. But it's not for everybody. So as we say in communion, Jesus died for many. Those that don't accept him don't get the gift of his death. Those that don't know him don't get the gift of his death. Same thing here. If we don't know him, if we don't truly live in him and know him in our lives 100%, this psalm doesn't mean anything for those people. It's God talking to his faithful, to the children who love him, to those who know him. This is also referenced again, no evil, no plague come near your tent. It's a reference to the plagues, to the Passover for the Israelites when they were spared. The plague didn't come near their houses or tents because they knew God and they followed his instructions and they put blood on their doorposts. Go ahead to 11. Now this, he says in 11, for he will command his angels, not angel, angels. We don't have God's power in one angel. We have God's angels. We have the power of all his angels. Watching over us, watching over you. It doesn't say people out there. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you. That's all of us that know him. To guard you against what? Against a car accident, against... No, it says in all your ways. All your ways. Little or big. Nothing's too big for God. Nothing's too little for him to care about us. He says to his angels, guard my people in all their ways. I mean, that's powerful to know that God's angels, not one of them for each of us, but all of them for all of us. Go ahead to verse 12. And on their hands, the angels, they're going to lift us up, bear us up, put us in a high place so we're safe, lest we would strike our feet against the stone. Again, it says you. Each one of you has this promise from God. Lest you strike your foot against a stone. We all have stumbling blocks in our lives. I know I do. I hit them all the time. Something happens, you're not in the best mood. I mean, and we hit a stumbling block. We have temptations. Those are stumbling blocks. If we live in God, his angels are going to lift us up over those stumbling blocks. Give us support to go over those stumbling blocks. So we're not stuck right here and we can't get around it. We keep hitting that same stumbling block, whatever it is, whatever sin in our life that we keep hitting, and probably we're wishing we could stop it. Go to God. Say, Father, I want this. I want what you promised me in Psalm 91. I want your angels to lift me up. Help me get on my block so I don't keep hitting my foot against the stone. Now this is interesting because in our gospel, we read this just now, that the devil knows Scripture? Of course he does. He was with God at one time. He knows the Scripture very well. But he also misuses it. So he tells Jesus when he's tempting him, he puts him on the pinnacle of the Holy Temple, which what I could find out, they figure was about 300 feet high. And he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. But he left out the all your ways. Because he didn't want that. If it's all your ways, we have no reason to test God, no reason to ever put ourselves in harm's way to say, well, this isn't a big enough problem, so I'm not going to go to God with it. No, all your ways. And what did he want Jesus to do? He wanted him to throw himself off the pinnacle so that the angels would have came and stopped him hitting the ground. And that would have brought Jesus a lot of fame, probably, because there are probably people there. I mean, it was the Holy Temple. So they would have seen Jesus, and they would have seen the angels save him. But Jesus, what does he do? He says to Satan, again, it is written right here in this book, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And he's talking about our Old Testament reading from Exodus, where the Israelites didn't believe God was going to deliver them. So they tested him for water. And in Deuteronomy 6:16, we see that spoken word by God saying, you should not test your God. Do not test me. But they did, because they didn't believe in their hearts. All of them didn't believe that God was going to do what he said. We talked about the armor of God a few sermons ago when I was preaching. And we talked about what it said in here, the armor of God. The sword of the Spirit. That's what he's using, Jesus is using, the sword of the Spirit. And that's this, the Bible. Jesus knew the Bible, knew God's word better than Satan. So he could use it against him. He could use it to keep himself safe, to live in God's promises. It's so important that we know this and can use it as a sword of the Spirit. I mean, we're tested all the time. People that don't believe test us all the time. We see it in the news. We have it in our lives. We have family members who don't believe. We have some that are atheists in our family. They're testing to see if me saying I'm a Christian, can I really defend my faith? And the way to defend it, the way to be safe against temptations and the enemy is right here in the sword of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus did. And he did it every time. The devil came and said, hey, you know, it says in the book here, and he twisted around. Jesus says, no. He says, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. We don't have to. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. He has power over everything. He's the Creator. He's going to do what he says. His word is good. Go ahead to the next one. 13, it says, you will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Well, that's temptation and sin. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, beware of the enemy. He prowls around like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour. So who's the lion? It's Satan. And who is Satan? He's all temptation and the sin in our lives. It's a snare of the fowler we talked about. He's trying to catch us. He tried to catch Jesus. Those were his snares when he was tempting him. He set a snare, hoping Jesus would be unsuspecting and step into it. And he would jump off the pinnacle, and then he'd have him. Because he would have tested God, which in the Old Testament, when Israelites did it, God said, do not test me, do not. So if Jesus would have been weak and done that, then he wouldn't have been a perfect man. He would have been a sinner like us. And the Son of God we know is perfect. So the lion is the devil setting snares. What about the adder, which is a serpent? How about Genesis? Who got Adam and Eve to eat the apple? A snake. Which was who? Satan. Which was what? Temptation to them. Eat the apple and have the knowledge. Have your eyes open. Be like God. So they did. Because they're humans, like us. They're weak. The flesh is strong. It's hard to fight it. How about in Revelation when it says, the old serpent will be cast out? Satan. He's a young serpent in Genesis. In Revelation, he's called the old dragon, the old serpent. And he's going to be cast out. But we, in our lives right now, have the power, through God, to tread on the lion and the adder, to trample him underfoot, to use this and say, I have the sword of the Spirit. I'm not going to jump off. I'm not going to give in to temptation. I'm not going to throw my faith away for one day of fun. When someone in my life says, this isn't true, Kobe. Come on, we can do this. It kind of says here, but I mean, you can just tear this page out or whatever. No, I can't, because God will do this for me if I do this for him, if I live here for him. It's so important. Go on to the next one. Now, these are amazing, amazing verses. These got me through tough times. Sometimes I would just read 14 to 16 when I was really down and out. This is God. This is God's prayer from his lips to us. This isn't saying he will do this for you. This is him saying right here, because he, and he is us. He is you and you and you and you and you, all of us here who hold God, who believe verse 9 and verse 1 and 2. Because he holds fast to me, God. This is him saying. He's saying. And this is how I used to read it. I used to say, because Kobe holds fast to me, God, in love, I will deliver Kobe. I will protect Kobe because Kobe knows my name. That's how you can read these verses. This is God telling you individually that he will deliver you. He will protect you. I mean, what more do you need? God, the creator of all, the creator of us, will send his angels, all of them. And then he's going to deliver you. He's going to protect you because you hold fast to him right here. Hold fast to him in love. Do you love God? And because you know his name. Go to the next one. When he calls to me, do you call to God? I call to him every day, good or bad. Yeah, I call to him more when things are bad, probably, and all of us do. That's always a danger. When our life is going great, we don't need God as much, so we kind of start to go, I'll just lay this over here, and I'll go over here now for a while, because I don't really need him right now because things are going great. Oh, things are going bad. Oh, God, I need you. But he says, when he calls to me, I will answer him. Not always what we want to hear. He doesn't always say, yes, whatever you want, I'll give you. Obviously not. People do get sick. People do die. People do get, have accidents, have downtimes. People get divorced. People have addictions. Yes, they do. But when you call to him, he is going to answer you. Then he says, I will be with him in trouble, with us in trouble, with you in trouble. See, God doesn't say we have a life with no trouble. Jesus tells us that we don't have that we're going to have trouble even more if we know him, as far as the world goes. So God just says right there, I will be with him in trouble. But what will he do? He will rescue and honor you. So he is going to rescue you. I always go to Romans 8:28, which is one of my life verses. God uses all for the good of those who love him and who he has chosen. So God uses all things for good. He may not pull us out immediately. He didn't me. I went through some hard times, but you know what? In the end, he uses it for good. And he rescued me. And he honored me because I honor him by calling to him, loving him, trusting in him, just coming to him as a child comes to a father. Go ahead. Then in 16 he says, with long life, I, God, will satisfy him, which is every one of you, and show him, all of you, his salvation. Now, long life, I've read about, it says, you know, long life. Some people believe it means a long life, but we know Christians die sometimes at young ages. But we know what? Whether our life is short or long, if we're living in Psalm 91, we're living in his word, do we have a long life? Yeah, we have life forever. It's eternal life. It's never going to end. So long life, and he'll show us his salvation, which we get through the blood of Jesus Christ. I just love this song. I mean, I don't know what, it sums it up. I mean, it just sums it up. And you have divine promises, eight of them. You have eight divine promises here. If you look at it, you'll see eight promises in those last verses. He's going to deliver you, protect you, answer you, be with you in trouble, rescue you, honor you, give you long life, and show you his salvation. And all we have to do is know God, really know him, and believe in Jesus Christ. That's all we have to do. I hope each one of us here today and everyone watching really, truly puts your trust in God. Where do you turn when things go bad? When something happens in your life, where do you turn? Do you turn to the world's way? Or do you grab the sword of the Spirit and say, Father, help me. I've screwed up. The world has dealt me a bad card. Whatever it might be. What do you do when you have an addiction? Whatever that might be. What do you do when your marriage is falling apart? What do you do when a doctor says, I have bad news? When a loved one dies? When you lose a job? I mean, all the problems we face. God says, I'll be with you in trouble, because he knows we face trouble. We live in an imperfect world, and we're imperfect beings. But he promises us everything in the psalm and more. It's him speaking to us. I, as God, will satisfy him, which is you and you and me and everyone who believes in him and his son. Folks, we need to really go to God in bad times and in good times. When things are going good, are you praying every day, or are you saying, I don't have time today, things are going so good, I got a new promotion at work, I'm making more money, I've got a new car, the kids are doing great, it's a sunny day, I got to get out in the garden. Or do you say, no, I owe God as my Father, as my Creator, to talk to him, to give him time, to read a little bit, to talk to him, to pray to him. And you can pray anytime, anywhere. So important that we hold God, we make him our refuge, our fortress, because he is the Almighty, the Most High, with power over everything in this world. And he will not fail us if we just allow him, invite him into our lives. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we all love you. Sometimes, Father, we're busy. Sometimes we get angry and depressed, and we have all kinds of emotions in our bodies, and you know that, Father. And we feel lost. But we ask that you continue to pull us to you, continue to help us get around and over and under and through any walls and stumbling blocks that we put up, the world puts up, the enemy puts up, and help us to know your word, to carry the sword of the Spirit in our hearts and in our minds, that we can defeat the enemy, temptation and sin, that we can tread on that lion and on that serpent, Father, through your strength, through your power, and with your help in our lives. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.